Hi there, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. We would invite you to join us in person Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 o'clock in downtown Tulsa, or check out our webpage at tulsafbc.org. God bless you, and have a great week.
Good morning. As Darren said, my name is Matt McClure, and it is my joy, my pleasure to be speaking to you today. And I have been here at First Baptist Church for 15 years, and it has been just such an honor to serve in this incredible church. Well, this morning I want to take us to Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. So if you'll grab your Bible and open up to there, we're going to start from there this morning. You know, have you ever asked God to do something for you? In fact, you asked God to do something that you needed Him to do? I mean, I think the first time I really had this thought in my mind that I need God to do something was when I was in seventh grade. Now, my daughter's in seventh grade, so I'm kind of reliving these seventh grade years so much through her. But in seventh grade, I wanted to make the junior high basketball team. In fact, I needed to make that basketball team. And I prayed every day, Lord, help me make this seventh grade basketball team. Because I needed to be known as an athlete among my friends. I needed to be more popular in school. So not only do I, God, ask you to do this, I need you to do this. Well, that year, three little seventh grade boys did not make the seventh grade team, and yes, I was one of them. God did not come through on that prayer, and I was kind of bewildered by that. Like, why? What's going on here? I remember in college where my friends would pray, oh, I'm just really praying that this girl I'm dating right now is the one. Only a few weeks later to have that person break up with him. And it's funny now that I'm older, that I look back with those same friends and how they see how what their life is now is so much greater than what it would have been had they had that prayer answered. Just recently, I was speaking with a brand new friend of mine who was telling me about how he and his family, their grandmother, had gotten very, very sick. And the grandmother in this family who was sick with cancer was the devout, faithful Christian in their family. And this man and his family were just casual believers, weren't really that involved in church. But during this time of her sickness, they rallied around her, praying for her, earnestly seeking God. And one particular day, the man said that she came home from a church service and she said, God has spoken to me and God has told me that I will be healed. Just a short time later, she passed away from cancer. And the man said this. He said, because of that, I no longer believe in God. And I was taken back by that. And sad for him, sad for his family. And begin to wonder, what is it that we pray and think about God and these issues that we go through with heartache and pain and circumstances that come our way of just living life that leads us to look at God and say, God, I no longer follow you. I no longer believe in you. You know, life is hard and we can go through moments that where we've asked God for an outcome that we didn't get. In fact, we could even say that we can look at our circumstances and they almost seem like not just a burden, but our very own weight. And I want to use this word today. It almost seems like our chain. So I want to leave you and start with this thought right here. And that is, I will not let the chains of my circumstances discourage me. And I want you to think through that today, that I will not let the chains of my circumstances discourage me. You know, the normal stress of life is real. And it's hard enough on our spiritual health, physical health, but let's add a pandemic on top of that, of the stress that comes with all that we've dealt with in the last 13, 14 months. You know, the CDC said that before the pandemic, 11% of adults, 11% of adults in the United States struggled with anxiety and depression. But by December of 2020, that number rose to 41% of adults struggled with anxiety and depression. And as we slowly come out on this other side of the pandemic, I worry, what has it done to the spiritual health of our church? What has it done to the spiritual health of my friends, my family, my student ministry, to me? Where am I in my expectations of what we have prayed? Lord, may you do this and may you do that. And as we come out on this other side, what has it done to us? So let me ask you this question. What have the circumstances of 2020 and now going into 2021, how is it affecting you? How has it felt like a weight and a chain on you? You know, we have families in our church that have lost loved ones. We've had families in our church that have faced severe illness and severe sickness, job loss, income loss, and just the burdens of life seem so heavy and weighted on them. So how will we not let the chains of our circumstances not completely weigh us down? Well, let's turn to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 12 through 14, and I want you to take that. I want you to read with me through that. And it says this, and it says, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. And as a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear." I want you to look really closely again here at verse 12, where Paul says this, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me." So I think the question is what had happened to Paul? And we're going to look at that. And I want to balance that up against what has happened to us. Because our first point I want you to walk away with today is we have all had stuff that we're dealing with. So my point is this, what are your chains? What are your chains that you're dealing with? And we all have something in our life that feels like a chain. What was Paul's? Well, Paul here helped start a church in Philippi. We can see this in Acts. In Acts 18, Paul and Silas, they go to this European town. It's the first European church plant that Paul starts. He's immediately arrested. He's thrown in jail. And then a massive earthquake happens. And the jailer thinks he's escaped and he's going to kill himself. And Paul says, no, we're all still here. He ends up evangelizing the jailer and his entire family. Paul makes a second visit to Philippi before being arrested by the Jerusalem Jews and then the religious leaders. They want him killed, but Paul then advocates as a Roman citizen to go to Rome to be tried. So in Acts 28, we see where Paul, he arrives in Rome and he's put under house arrest. And he's in house arrest, and this is not like going to a bed and breakfast. This is not like, you know, a five-star hotel. He's in what most scholars feel like is just a very small, tiny apartment room. He's there, and he has to provide his own provision. So the church in Rome is probably helping feed him, helping take care of him. Because of his Roman citizenship, he is allowed the privilege of having guests come meet with him. And so the biggest challenge Paul has here is that he is physically chained to the Roman guard. And this is just any Roman guard. It's called the Praetorian Guard. And this is like the Navy SEALs of Rome. They're like the best of the best. They are the elite guard. This is the same guard that would be guarding Caesar's palace. It was his personal Roman guards as the elite of the Roman army. And so for 2 years, Paul's confined in this small house, physically chained by the arm to a elite Roman guard, and they would rotate out in keeping him chained. While he's in prison there, Paul ends up writing 4 books of the Bible, of the New Testament, we know as Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon. So here Paul's writing to the church in Philippi, in Philippians, this new church, and they've gotten word that Paul, their hero. Now, You got to put yourself in their shoes. He's not just their hero. He is their Billy Graham. He is their spiritual Iron Man. And here he has been arrested. He is in jail and facing imminent death. They don't know if he's going to make it out of this. And all they know is many times to be in the circumstances and the situation that he is in, the outcome is not favorable. Certainly, this is a huge weight for the church. So let me ask you a question. What is the chain that you're going through? What is the weight right now that you feel such a burden on you about, and the distressing situation that you currently face? This last summer, my family and I, we went to the lake and we rented a boat, and we were going to go tubing and skiing and all the fun things that you do in the summertime at the lake. And it was my job to drive. And so I had the boat and I'm driving and I cannot get any power in this boat. I'm going full power. We can't get anybody up. And it's the motor sounds weird and we cannot tell what's going on. So I do a little investigating and find out that I had left the ladder down on the back of the boat. Because the ladder was down, the engine and the prop on the boat were not running correctly and was keeping the boat running what I felt like should be full power. And I just feel like as followers of Jesus and just as a person, we have those moments in our lives that we feel like we've got something happening to us that just weighs us down. And so that's what I'm calling this chain that we have around us. So one, what is your chain? I think the second thing I want you to think about is God wants to work through your chains. Look again at verse 12. Paul says, "This is what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel." So God wants to work through our chains and make his grace known to others because of you. Believers and non-believers alike are going to have trials. We're going to have struggles. And the pandemic has not discriminated against either one. Everyone has struggled with this, with sickness and troubles. But the difference of the follower of Jesus is how we respond to that. And how we respond can be the greatest witness we can ever have. And we see Paul in his circumstances, he uses this as an opportunity to spread the gospel. Now, here's a question. How does Paul see this as an opportunity? He is in jail. He is facing a potential death sentence. He doesn't even know when his trial is going to be. How does he see this as an opportunity? And if I was to swap places, or maybe you were to swap places with Paul, this would be an absolutely insurmountable obstacle that we would not be able to overcome to sit in his spot. But Paul did not see himself as a prisoner of Rome. He saw himself as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul does not see himself as a victim of his circumstances. Paul sees himself as a conqueror for Jesus Christ. And we can look on at verse 13. He says, "As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ." This word where he says it's become clear, that's how it's used in the NIV. Or if you have the Christian Standard Bible, it uses the word, it has become known. Or maybe you even have the King James Version. They use the word, it has become manifest that I am in chains for Christ. See, Paul spread the gospel not despite of the men chained to him, but through the men chained to him. Matthew Henry, who was a famous preacher in the early 1700s, he said this. He said, "Paul's suffering made him known where he otherwise would have never been known." Let's talk about this advancement of the gospel back in verse 12. There's an interesting idea here that comes from Scripture that the gospel is being advanced. Where he says, "I want you to know, brothers, what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel." Well, this word comes from a Greek word that really means, refers to making headway in spite of blows, referring to a ship that's at sea that's going against the waves of the wind. You see, Paul is seeing the gospel advancing and moving forward in spite of the challenging place he finds himself. Many scholars have believed that the elite guard that oversaw Paul and the courts and the magistrates, and the mail carriers, and even those same guards would be rotating, seeing Caesar, the emperor himself would have known and heard about Paul. These men are chained to Paul as he dictates four books of the gospel, of the Bible. And in fact, Paul has numerous visitors and friends as he talks about the gospels that we don't have recorded in the New Testament. So we can only speculate how many of those elite guard came to faith in Christ because of being chained to Paul. You know, I grew up on the farm, and I was a big FFA guy, 4-H when I was younger, and then FFA when I was in middle school and high school. And so in my family, we showed hogs, and we kind of changed that over. We showed sheep. I did all the way up through college and used that as an ability to make money and pay for school. And my parents were so smart to put that into a college savings account. But I had other friends. They didn't show hogs, they didn't show sheep, but they showed cattle. And that's something that we really never got into. But you have to teach that steer or that heifer to be able to walk with a halter. And it's just fascinating how you would teach this massive animal, these beautiful animals, how to walk so gently with a halter. And one of the ways that people would do that is they would take that steer or heifer and they would halter tie it to a donkey. And you can even do this with a grown bull. And you can take this little tiny donkey and halter tie it to this larger calf, cow, bull, and that donkey will halter break that animal. That even though it is smaller and it is tinier, it will yank and it will pull on that cow until it finally gives up. You see, Paul is chained not just to a guard, he's chained to this mighty Roman empire. And yet, because he is chained to them, they are chained to Paul. And he is using that as an opportunity to spread the gospel and advance the gospel to them. It almost seems that at this moment in history, the huge, mighty Roman army and the Roman culture were influenced because they were chained to Paul. Some scholars have wondered if Paul's greatest and most successful moment in ministry was not his missionary journeys, but was his moment in chains. So God wants to use your moment in your chains to be a witness to your family and to your neighbors and to your co-workers. Remember this thought I want to leave you today. I will not let the chains of my circumstances discourage me. So that leads me to point number three. Our chains are to be an encouragement to others. Verse 14, Paul says this. He says, "And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear." You see, Paul used his circumstances to encourage the church. And in verse 14, Paul says that because of the chains he was in, others were encouraged to speak about their faith more courageously. They're encouraged to speak more boldly. And his ability not just to exist and survive, but his ability to thrive is what seemed in this hopeless situation, is what encouraged the Philippian church to keep on following Jesus and speaking more boldly about him and sharing the gospel. And so for us, what's the dark situation that we need to turn the focus from and say, how can I serve? Paul served the church. And when you take your focus off yourself, you say, I'm going to serve my family through this situation. I'm going to serve my church through this situation. I'm going to serve my community through this situation. You will allow yourself not just to be a victim, but a conqueror. You will not see yourself as one chained to your problems, but in chains for the glory of Jesus. You see, I will not let my chains of my circumstances discourage me. As a follower of Jesus, we must understand that life will continue to bring the good, and life's going to continue to bring the bad. And we're going to still experience pain that comes with being this thing called human. But imagine with me for a moment that we're the kind of church that would be a follower of Jesus no matter what is happening to us. That we would have the faith that is unwavering. And that when people see us, our witness is not by what we say, but about how we live our lives in spite of the chains we may have. Now, that would be a witness that would be radical. It could change the city of Tulsa, could change your neighborhood, and that can change your family. I would love to tell you that as a follower of Jesus, you're never going to experience pain and sorrow in your life. But here's a truth that we must all know. That God does not promise you a life free of pain, but God promises you a life that is eternal through Him. See, today, all you need to do is to ask Jesus to be the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life. And the Bible says you will be saved. Have you done that? Have you asked Jesus to take full control of your life? Do you feel like because of the weight of the world, your life is out of control? Friend, now is the time to turn to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I give it all to you. If you're listening to this and you feel completely weighted down, know that Jesus is here to walk with you with your burdens, to carry your burdens with you. Jesus doesn't want you to be a victim. He wants you to be a conqueror. So how do you receive that? You simply just need to pray today. Because Jesus doesn't want the chains of your circumstances to discourage you. I will not let the chains of my circumstances discourage me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this message from Paul that's so timely right now as we, Lord, struggle with so many things happening in our lives today with the pandemic and just with life around us that seems to happen to us. But God, help us to see the chains that we may have to be our opportunity to be a witness to those who see us. Father, for the person listening right now that says, I don't even know. I have no idea if I have a relationship with Jesus. Father, may you right now show your grace and your mercy to them. Father, may they pray to say, Lord, come into my life right now. May you be the forgiver of my sins, and may you be the leader of my life. Jesus, thank you for your grace, and thank you for your love. In your name that we pray, amen. Thank you for your time today, and God bless you, and have a great day.
Thanks so much for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of each worship service on Sunday morning, I offer a simple blessing, and I offer that blessing to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you, and may God grant you peace, both now and forever. Amen.